Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
Kings arrested, prime ministers assassinated, and foreign ministers at the bar. It's October 1921.
100 years from today.
News update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Fascists and socialists are fighting on the streets of Modena in northern Italy. Each believes that they are the likely successors to discredited systems such as monarchy and democracy. In Sulaymaniyah, Sheikh Mahmoud Barzanji has proclaimed a new kingdom of Kurdistan with himself as king. His kingdom is, in fact, within the British mandate of Mesopotamia. Sheikh Mahmoud blows hot and cold on the British High Commissioner. This is presumably one of the cold spells. Are you keeping up on all these breakaway republics? Riccardo Zanella has been elected as the first president of the Free State of Fiume, which is a buffer state on the Adriatic coast between Italy and the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes. Signor Zanella is something of an embodiment of the buffer, having an Italian father and a Slovene mother. It is just 6 months since Mohamed Taki Pesian proclaimed himself leader of the autonomous state of Khorasan in Persia. He is no longer head of that state, having been surrounded by Kurdish tribesmen who decapitated him and brought his head to Tehran as evidence of his demise. For 2 months, Hungarian sharpshooters have prevented Austrian officials from taking charge of Burgenland, which, according to whose view you take, is either Eastern Austria or Western Hungary. Now, the League of Nations has referred the dispute for mediation by Italy. The Treaty of Versailles awarded Shantung Province to Japan. The Empire's government demanded that China abide by that decision. The government of China has now rejected all Tokyo's demands. Let's all go down the Strand and have a riot. A peaceful march of 10,000 unemployed workers through the streets of London to Hyde Park turned violent when about 3,000 men decided to take a detour and attempted to climb Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square. The police charged in and rioting broke out. In the United States, William Howard Taft, the 27th president, has taken his oath and is now the 10th Chief Justice. He is the first American to hold both offices. A powerful earthquake has struck Elsinore, a town of about 800 in Utah, prompting residents to flee, fearing the end of the world is nigh. Are you ready for the invisible gun? The United States Army has been testing a new type of flashless explosive powder that would make night artillery invisible. It's also testing what it calls the world's greatest gun, which can fire an artillery shell 20 miles. Costa Rica has become the fourth and final country to ratify the treaty, creating the Federation of Central America. That's Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Its capital city will be Tegucigalpa. Just days after it made history with the first broadcast of a World Series baseball game, Pittsburgh station KDKA has notched up another first, the first live radio broadcast of an American football game. The University of Pittsburgh Panthers defeated the University of West Virginia Mountaineers 21-13, and you could hear every thrilling minute right in your parlor.
All by myself in the morning. Alone in the cozy Morris chair, so happy there, playing solitaire. All by myself, I get lonely, watching the clock on the shelf. I'd love to rest my weary head on somebody's shoulder. I hate to grow older all by myself.
Buster Keaton can do it all by himself. Do you like these special effects in the flickers? If so, you will love Mr. Keaton's new comedy photoplay, The Playhouse, in which, using technology he developed himself, he plays multiple different characters in the same shot, including an opening sequence in which Buster attends a variety show in which he plays the conductor and every member of the orchestra, all the actors, all the dancers, all the singers, all the stagehands, and every member of the audience, male and female. In that last role, Buster Keaton turns to the Buster Keaton sitting beside him and remarks, "This fellow Keaton seems to be the whole show."
Go away for a show, may come your way. They bring the flowers that bloom in May. And if it's raining, have no regret, because it isn't raining, rain, you know, it's raining.
Just in time for Columbus Day, here's a new Broadway smash on a Colombian theme, whose hit songs are already the toast of New York. Al Jolson, in his trademark blackface, plays a slave of Christopher Columbus, and lots of laughs ensue. Columbus may be the big boss, but Jolson the slave gets all the best numbers, including not only April Showers, but this.
Goodbye, don't cry. The little choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how bad it makes me. Kiss me, tootsie, and then, oh baby, do it over again. Watch for the nail, I'll never fail. And if you don't get a letter, then you'll know I'm in jail. That tootsie, don't cry. Tootsie, goodbye.
Tootsie goodbye. Indeed. 33 people have been killed in a rear-end collision between two suburban trains in a tunnel near the Gare Saint-Lazare in Paris. Lieutenant Georges Kersch of the French Army has set a new speed record, flying 300 kilometres in 1 hour and averaging 279 kilometres, about 173 miles per hour, over the whole race in winning the Coupe Deutsch de la Meurthe.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air.
There is no such place in the annals of aviation for Madeline Davis, the young stunt flyer, was attempting in Long Branch, New Jersey, to become the first woman to climb from a moving automobile to a moving airplane flying overhead. Instead, Miss Davis lost her grip on the rope ladder and hit the ground at a speed of about 45 miles per hour. She is dead at the age of 23. Wilhelm II was the last king of Württemberg. He was a popular monarch. He enjoyed walking his dogs in the park with no need for any guards, and he would be greeted by his subjects with an affable Herr König, Mr. King. But he was swept away in the revolution that overthrew all the German monarchs at the end of the war and extinguished his kingdom. Wilhelm II is dead at 73. Earlier this year, John Storey, Premier of New South Wales, arranged the prorogation of Parliament to avoid being overthrown during a six-month absence to see his doctor in Harley Street in London. Despite the warnings of that doctor, he returned to his usual work schedule and is dead of nephritis at the age of 52. The former New York Congressman Michael Farley nicked himself with a razor. The cut was infected by a contaminated shaving brush 3 days later, Mr. Farley is dead at 58. He is believed to be the first man to die of anthrax contracted while shaving. Yulan was the princess consort of Prince Chun of the first rank and mother of the last emperor of China, Puyi, although she did not see much of her son after the age of 2 when he was taken away to be raised by the palace eunuchs. Emperor Puyi was overthrown in 1912 when he was 6 years old and briefly restored for a week and a half in 1917 when he was 11. Now his mother is dead at 37 after being publicly reprimanded by the Dowager Empress for her son's misconduct, Yulan committed suicide by swallowing opium. Your world news update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The League of Nations has reached a decision on the division of Upper Silesia between Poland and Germany, but is, for the moment, not revealing what that decision is. The Treaty of Kars has been signed between the Grand National Assembly of Turkey and the new states of the South Caucasus, establishing the borders between Turkey and the Soviet Socialist Republics of Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia. In contradiction to the new song Rio Nights, Brazil continues to be roiled by the crisis in the coffee industry. President Epitácio Pessoa has addressed the Brazilian Congress and told them the irregularity of crop yields and the cost of storage at Brazilian ports means the coffee sector requires new institutions. Peace talks have opened in London between His Majesty's government and Irish Republicans. Prime Minister Lloyd George, the Lord Chancellor, Lord Birkenhead, the Chief Secretary for Ireland, Sir Hamar Greenwood, Colonial Secretary Mr. Winston Churchill, War Secretary Sir Laming Worthington Evans, and the Attorney General Sir Gordon Hewitt are the negotiators on the government side, and Arthur Griffith, Michael Collins, R.C. Barton, E.J. Duggan, and Gavin Duffy are the representatives of the so-called Irish Republic.
They were summoned from the hillside. They were called in from the land, and the country found them ready at the staring call for men. Let not fear that to their hardships, as the soldiers pass along, and although your heart is breaking, make it sing this cheery song. Keep the home fires burning while your hearts are yearning, though your lands are far away, they dream of home. There's a silver lining through the dark clouds shining. Turn the dark cloud inside out till the boys come home.
Ah, but so many of those boys did not come home, and for some of them, no name can be put to their final resting place. In the United States, Congress has voted to bestow America's highest award for valor, the Medal of Honor, upon the unidentified British soldier interred in the Tomb of the Unknown Warrior in London. In turn, King George V has announced that on Armistice Day next month, the unknown soldier selected by the United States to rest in Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia will receive the British Empire's highest award, the Victoria Cross. By a margin of only 4 votes, the U.S. House of Representatives has narrowly rejected a proposal by Congressman Isaac Siegel of New York to increase the number of seats from 435 to 460. An alternative scheme offered by Congressman Tinkham of Massachusetts would have reduced the number of representatives from 435 to 425, with the apportionment being based on the number of registered voters in a state rather than its population, the intention being to deter southern states from the disenfranchisement of Negro voters by exacting a price of diminished representation for those states in Congress. The Tinkham proposal, which would have taken 33 seats away from those southern states with literacy tests and poll taxes and the like, was rejected overwhelmingly. The Blue Boy is the most famous work by Thomas Gainsborough. Painted in 1770, it shows the eponymous azure lad in garb of a century earlier as the artist's homage to Van Dyck. Its owner, the Duke of Westminster, put it up for sale at auction, and it is now the property of Sir Joseph Duveen, the favourite art dealer of American tycoons, and the man who made the famous observation that, quote, Europe has a great deal of art, and America has a great deal of money. The Daily Telegraph commented rather less pithily that we have seen too much in these stressful times of that rigorous code of national taxation which has shaken the foundations of private ownership in inherited lands and treasures. Some relief may be derived from the fact that it is the generous want of American millionaires to leave their spoils of European art treasures to public galleries. Sir Joseph bid £170,000 for the Blue Boy and also bought Sir Joshua Reynolds' painting Sarah Siddons as the Tragic Muse for an additional £30,000 after the Duke of Westminster had declined to sell the Blue Boy by itself for a mere £150,000.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the whole team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strike, you're out at the old ball game.
In sports news, the New York Giants have defeated the New York Yankees to win the 1921 World Series by 5-3. Immediately after the 8th and final game, Baseball Commissioner Kenesaw Landis announced that he would be asking club owners to change the current best 5-9 format to the best 4-7. Commissioner Landis also threatened several leading baseball stars with suspension, including the world's highest paid player, Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth ignored the threat and went ahead and appeared in an unauthorized exhibition game between a team featuring such revered New York Yankees as Bob Musil and Bill Piercy, and a team calling itself the Polish Nationals of Buffalo. Babe Ruth hit one home run, and his team beat the Poles 4-2. Senator Philander C. Knox of Pennsylvania was a former Secretary of State and Attorney General who later played a key role in the U.S. Senate's rejection of the Treaty of Versailles. He thought he would be the presidential candidate the Republican Party turned to unite its conservative and progressive wings. Instead, the nomination went to Warren Harding. Senator Knox is dead in office at the age of 68. Queen Yaa Asantewaa was Queen Mother of the Ashanti Empire in West Africa and a persistent thorn in the side of British administrators. A generation ago, Sir Frederick Hodgson, then Governor of the Gold Coast, announced his intention to sit on the Golden Stool, the traditional royal and divine throne of the Ashanti, and thereby symbolise his governing power over them. When he arrived in Kumasi, he told the Ashanti leaders, "Where is the golden stool? I am the representative of the paramount power. Why have you relegated me to this ordinary chair? Why did you not take the opportunity of my coming to Kumasi to bring the golden stool for me to sit upon?" The outraged Queen Mother then told her people no foreigner could have dared to speak to a chief of the Ashanti in the way the governor spoke to you, chiefs, this morning. Is it true that the bravery of the Ashanti is no more? I cannot believe it. It cannot be. I must say this. If you, the men of Ashanti, will not go forward, then we will. We, the women, will. I shall call upon my fellow women. We will fight. We will fight till the last of us falls in the battlefields. And with that speech, Her Majesty launched the War of the Golden Stool upon Sir Frederick and British authorities. It ended with the reduction of the mighty Ashanti Empire to a mere crown colony of Great Britain, and with the exile of the Queen Mother to the Seychelles in the Indian Ocean. Ya Asantewa has died there at the age of 81. Your world news update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues and then some. As we have reported, the League of Nations this month reached a decision on the division of Upper Silesia between Germany and Poland, but did not make public the details of its award of some Silesian territory to Warsaw. Nevertheless, panic ensued in Germany at the potential loss of an industrial heartland, and the German mark has plunged by 25% in currency markets, while prices have soared in German shops. Chancellor Josef Witt and his cabinet have resigned, but President Friedrich Ebert has invited Dr. Witt to form a new government on condition he retain Walter Rathenau as Minister of Reconstruction. The Prime Minister of Portugal has been assassinated, along with the Republic's founder and first president, by monarchists in Lisbon. Prime Minister António Granho and former President António Machado Santos were murdered after their homes were breached by angry mobs. The Minister for the Navy, José Carlos da Maia, was also killed. General Manuel Maria Coelho has been sworn in as Prime Minister, the fifth so far this year. The last Habsburg emperor's attempt to restore himself to his Hungarian throne has ended in failure. Emperor Karl of Austria, or King Károly IV of Hungary, and his Empress Zita landed on a plane from Switzerland near the town of Sopron, formerly Oldenburg, and met up with Hungarian army loyalists. They marched to within 5 miles of Budapest, and several news reports suggested the king had overthrown the regency of Admiral Horthy. In fact, it was the admiral who put down King Karoy's insurgency. The king and queen were arrested and are currently being held at an abbey in Tarni. Assassins in Bulgaria have shot and killed Alexander Dimitrov, the kingdom's minister of war, in an attack on his motor car in an ambush near the resort town of Kustendil. Three other persons, including the minister's chauffeur, are dead.
My car will meet her, and her mother comes too. It's a two-seater, till her mother comes too. We buy her true soul, and her mother comes too. Up not to do so, till her mother comes too. She simply can't take a snub. I go and sulk at the club, then have a bump and a rub, and her brother comes too.
But sometimes mother doesn't come to. Earlier this year, the late King of Montenegro's son, Prince Danilo, renounced any claim to the throne. Now his mother, Queen Milena, has also taken leave of state affairs and withdrawn her recognition of her deceased husband's de jure government. As a result, the Kingdom of Montenegro is now dissolved and, per the agreement of 3 years ago, will be formally absorbed into the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes. The American ambassador to France, Myron T. Herrick, has narrowly avoided assassination by letter bomb. The package containing a Mills bomb, a British fragmentation hand grenade was delivered to the ambassador's residence marked personal, but his valet, Lawrence Blanchard, loosened the wrapping and, being a former British soldier, recognised the sound of a spring and the whirring characteristic of a grenade. He hurled the package into an empty room but still caught a piece of shrapnel in his leg. With all this violence across Europe, it is heartening to know that peace talks between His Majesty's government and Irish Republican revolutionaries are underway in London. Well, heartening, except for the news that following a tip-off, German police in Hamburg have discovered a ship in port laden with weapons and bound for Ireland. In the United States, the prohibition on the sale and consumption of alcohol is now well established, except that is for medicinal purposes, which are increasingly numerous. The Senate is presently considering a bill passed by the House of Representatives that would ban beer from being prescribed as a medicine. Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Andrew Mellon has announced new restrictions on the prescription of alcohol for medicinal purposes. Doctors will be free to prescribe up to 2.5 gallons of beer or 2 quarts of wine for as often as necessary, but whiskey and other alcohol will be limited to 1 pint no more often than every 10 days. Esteban Gil Borges has resigned as Foreign Minister of Venezuela in order to move to America and become a lawyer. It is a sad state of affairs when being a senior cabinet minister in Caracas is not competitive with being an ambulance chaser in Chicago. To sweep America, a new photoplay, The Sheik, starring Rudolph Valentino and based on the sensational novel by Edith Maud Hull, has opened in Los Angeles to sell out crowds and a delirious public reaction the picture business has never seen. What's more exciting than a sultry Arab lover? A, quote, bread toaster with automatic bread ejection. An Iowa man called Charles Streit has invented such an apparatus and received a patent for it from the US government. Over there, in a moving ceremony at Châlons-en-Champagne in France, the man who will lie in the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington National Cemetery has been selected from 4 unidentified persons among America's war dead. Following a similar selection for Great Britain's unknown warrior last year, U.S. Army Sergeant Edward Younger was tasked with choosing one of the 4 caskets and placed his flowers on the 3rd coffin from the left. That coffin will now be coming home from over there. The last German kings are taking their leave. Following the death of King Wilhelm of Württemberg earlier this month, King Ludwig III has died while in Hungary. His family ruled Bavaria for 738 years until the day after the armistice, November the 12th, 1918. King Ludwig was 76. your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War is finally getting cleaned up and sorted out. Poland and Germany have both announced their acceptance of the division of Upper Silesia made by the League of Nations. The Bolshevik regime in the Soviet Union has announced that it accepts its obligation to pay most of Imperial Russia's government debts incurred prior to the World War and the Revolution. And his mother came too to see him off. The Prince of Wales has left Great Britain for an 8-month tour of India that will also include visits to Japan and the Philippines. Other members of the royal family crowded the platform at Victoria Station, whence His Royal Highness departed for Portsmouth. Among them were the King and a very tearful and distraught Queen Mary, plus the Duke of Connaught, the Duke of York, Prince Henry, and the Princesses Mary, Louise, and Victoria. Also present were prominent national figures, including the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Archbishop of Wales, Lord Birkenhead, Mr. Winston Churchill, and Mr. Austen Chamberlain. At Portsmouth, the Prince boarded the Royal Navy cruiser HMS Renown and set sail for Bombay. He is not the only prince aboard the Renown. Its midshipmen include Prince Charles, Count of Flanders, the second son of King Albert of the Belgians. At Britannia Beach, British Columbia, dozens are dead after floods swept 50 houses into the waters of the Howe Sound. A landslide had dammed Britannia Creek for days, and when, without warning, it broke at 9:30 in the evening, a wall of water 70 feet high rained down devastation before terrified residents were even aware of what was happening. So far, 35 bodies have been recovered, but an equal number of persons are believed still to be missing. In the United States, President Warren Harding has spoken at the 50th anniversary of Birmingham, Alabama, founded in 1871 by settlers of mostly English stock who named it after the famous city of Britain's industrial heartland. Addressing an audience of white and Negro residents, the president surprised some by declaring that while the races should remain segregated, there must be equality between the black man and white man in, quote, political and economic life. The president's speech was unfortunate, said Pat Harrison, the Democrat senator from Mississippi. Of course, every rational being desires to see the Negro protected in his life, liberty, and property. I believe in giving him every right under the law to which he is entitled, but to encourage the Negro to strive to be placed upon equality with the whites is a blow to the whole white civilization of this country. That means that the black man can strive to become president of the United States. It means white women should work under black men in public places as well as in all trades and professions. Place the Negro upon political and economic equality with the white man or woman, and the friction between the races will be aggravated. In North Dakota, the first ever gubernatorial recall election in the U.S. has ended with the defeat of the incumbent, Governor Lynn Frazier, who was blamed for an economic depression in the agricultural sector. Chester Taylor has been elected to the House of Representatives from Arkansas, replacing his father Samuel, who died last month. Congressman Thomas Blanton of Texas has been censored by the House for reading, quote, unspeakable, vile, foul, filthy, profane, blasphemous, and obscene language into the congressional record. The language was partially redacted by the government printing office and rendered as, quote, God bleep your black heart, you ought to have it torn out of you, you bleeping bleep of a bleep. You bleep his bleep, and he is a bleeped fool for letting you do it. A motion to expel Mr. Blanton from Congress was 203 in favor and 113 against, 8 votes short of the required two-thirds majority.
Why, there's a change in the weather, there's a change in the sea. So from now on there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me's going to be the same. I'm gonna change my long, long one for a little short back.
There'll be some changes made in St. Louis, Missouri. William Egan was a mainstay of the Democratic City Committee in St. Louis and a constable. He was also a gangster who ran the notorious Egan mob, but not anymore. He has been fatally shot outside his saloon on Franklin Avenue by a rival gang in a passing automobile. With his dying breath, he named James Hogan, John Doyle, and Luke Kennedy as his killers. And there are now fears St. Louis is set for a bloody gang war. Rabbi Joseph Saul Kornfeld of Columbus, Ohio, has been appointed as Envoy Extraordinary and Minister Plenipotentiary to Persia. He is the first American rabbi to hold a major diplomatic post overseas. And in Tehran, the Shah and his government are said to be looking forward to welcoming Rabbi Kornfeld to their country. In Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, voting has taken place to elect a Congress for the newly created Federation of Central America. This palace is being promoted as the wonder theater of the world. Balaban and Katz's new 3,880-seat Chicago theater opened with a capacity crowd inside and even more jostling to get in from outside, requiring mounted police for street control. Built in the neo-Baroque French Revival style, the theater is said to be the finest picture palace in the country and boasts 14 romantic French-themed murals around the proscenium, plus a 50-piece orchestra and a 29-rank Wurlitzer played by the so-called poet of the organ himself, Jesse Crawford. The first feature attraction at the new theatre is the First National Pictures production, The Sign on the Door, starring Norma Talmadge. The sign on the door at the Chicago Theatre says, "Sorry, we're sold out." The International Olympic Committee has refused to include track and field events for women in the 1924 Olympics. Now, Alice Milliat of France has come through on her promise to form an alternative organization for female athletes. The Fédération Sportive Féminine Internationale, the International Women's Sports Federation, has been founded in Paris by delegates from France, Italy, Great Britain, the United States, and Czechoslovakia. They're calling it, quote, the upset of the century and one of the most surprising defeats ever in American college football. Harvard University has managed to lose 6-0 to a team from Center College. If you're wondering where Center College is, it's in Danville, Kentucky. If you're wondering where Danville, Kentucky is, it's a town of some 6,000 southwest of Lexington. Harvard had not lost a game for almost 3 years, but Center Center College's star quarterback, Bo McMillan, ran 32 yards for an historic touchdown.
I've got 10 little fingers and 10 little toes down in Tennessee, waiting there for me. I never had a baby call me Dada. How proud I know I'll be when I hear it calling me. Oh, gee, I'll miss every finger. I'll kiss every toe. At home, sweet home, I'll linger, for they'll need me there, I know. Although it only weighs 10 pounds and just one day old, I wouldn't give it up for all the world and its gold. For I've got 10 little fingers and 10 little toes waiting down in Tennessee for me.
10 little fingers, 10 little toes, and a solid grip on the throne. The Romanian royal house is looking more secure. King Ferdinand was a complete stranger to the country when he was proclaimed the heir presumptive, but since ascending the throne 7 years ago, he has settled in, and following the annulment of his son's first marriage and the consequent disinheritance of his firstborn grandson, he has now become the grandfather of a legitimate heir, Prince Michael, born at Pelish Castle in the Carpathian Mountains. The body of an unidentified Italian army soldier killed in the World War has been selected from 10 other caskets to be interred in the kingdom's Tomb of the Unknown Soldier next month. Yan Fu was a Chinese military officer and lifelong monarchist who introduced many Western ideas to his native land, translating for his countrymen such English tracts as John Stuart Mill on Liberty and Adam Smith's The Wealth of Nations. He is dead at 67. Ahmed Raza Khan, better known as Allah Hazrat, was a poet and Islamic reformer throughout India who spent his life pushing back against Wahhabi and Deobandi in interpretations of Islam. He is perhaps best known for the Kanzal Iman, a huge best-selling Urdu paraphrase of the Quran. Allah Hazrat is dead at 65. Bat Masterson was born to an Irish family in Quebec but came to embody America's Old West. Gambler and gunslinger, buffalo hunter and Indian fighter, sheriff of Dodge City. He had a wild life and a very sedate death from a heart attack at his desk after finishing a column for the New York Morning Telegraph. Mr. Masterson was 67. And that's the way of the world, October 1921.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media, all rights reserved.